We didn't get two verses like that before. It
wasn't on purpose that time.
Good morning. The husband was very quickly hurrying off to work one morning, and he was about to hit the door. His wife said, "Do you know what day today is?" And he said, "I certainly do." And so all through the day, he was so thankful that she had reminded him. And so he came home that evening with a beautiful bouquet of flowers, her favorite box of chocolates, and just for good measure, some jewelry. And she said, "Why, thanks, honey. This is the greatest Groundhog Day I have ever had." We know what a special day this Lord's Day is because this is the day that we are honoring our graduating seniors from Chester County High School. And we are also honoring, that is, encouraging our university students who are about to enter their finals. And we want to congratulate those seniors who will be graduating this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock. And Chester County's graduation is the following Monday evening. And we want to encourage all of you to do your very best this week, and we know that you will, and we're very proud of you. Thanks to Bill and Jared and all those who have helped in setting up for the luncheon that we're going to enjoy honoring our high school seniors. And then tonight, beginning at 6, at the same time that we have the chorale going on, but from 6 to 11 tonight, and Monday night and Tuesday night from 6 to 11, we'll have study hall for our university students to come and enjoy meals as well as to have places to study. And we did that in the fall, at the end of the fall semester, and it was a great success. And we hope that it added to our overall university GPAs. But anyway, there's been a lot of work done on tonight's meal. It's breakfast. And I hope that, sorry for mentioning that, but want to encourage our students to take advantage of it. Special thanks to those of you who are working hard on that. A lot of people in the congregation. Well, the Lord came to the end of the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, and he extended the invitation. He was not intending to give us a song that we know best from Vacation Bible School days, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock," although I'm very grateful for that song, grateful for those who lead it and sing it so well. What he was doing was issuing an appeal that goes all the way back to verse 3 of chapter 5, when he begins the Beatitudes, and then as he works through all of that material of chapters 5, 6, and 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." Today, as we think about what lies ahead in terms of the future of our local children growing up in front of us, absolutely amazed that this group is graduating from high school already, absolutely amazed that our university students are making the kind of progress at the speed they are, and that some of them are graduating already. And then as we look forward to whatever is next, our lesson today is designed first for these students and second for all of our university students and then for the rest of us, because there is not a time and there is not an age or a stage in life where the familiar story of the wise man and the foolish man does not apply to whatever is next in the living of our lives. Four observations quickly, and then I want to talk about some foundation stones that these young people need to be sure are a part of their foundation, but you and I must be sure as well. The Lord makes the observation, first of all, that we are all builders of something. And let's just take the contrast that he makes. The contrast is there are some people who literally build houses wisely, thoroughly, and carefully. And in any town, in any community, even in any city, people know who those are. That is, who will do the very best work, who will do top quality work, and those who will see how little that they can get by with in completing a project. Some are wise, some are foolish. The Lord had the opportunity to observe the building of houses growing up in the carpenter shop of Joseph. And he himself, as a Jewish young man, would have learned the trade of his father. And so he, too, was someone who knew all about building. And he would observe that there were houses that looked so good on the outside, and yet when the rains came, and when the floods came, and when the winds blew, and as he says, slammed against that house, there were those that stood firm, and there were those that were swept away. But from the outside, they all looked the same. Not all houses are built alike. In Israel, for instance, there are 6 months out of the year where it does not rain, basically your spring and summer season. And then there are 6 months where it rains a great deal, your fall and winter season. And so in that spring and summer season, there are those who will build their houses on the surface of what becomes about the hardest baked clay that you can possibly imagine, and the foundation seems really secure. But the wise man knows that the rains are coming. In fact, that the monsoons are coming and that there will be floods coming in the fall and winter. So rather than the foolish man who does not build down deep enough to find rock upon which to build his house, the wise man digs and digs until he is certain that there is a solid slab of rock. Then and only then will he begin construction. But the real point the Lord is making is not about the building of houses that we live in that are day by day decaying as we are. But the real house that we live in. And it's not just the house of the physical body in which we live, but the soul that is inside that body. The soul for which Jesus came to die and to secure its eternal salvation. He says there are some people who are living their lives for the here and now, for the passing fancy, for whatever is cool, for whatever is current, for whatever is hip, and they're not looking beyond the here and now for what is coming. And we all are in the process of becoming something. I want you to analyze yourself. The people who know you best, how would they describe you? What would they say about you? I'm not talking about the critic. I'm talking about the person who knows you best and the person who does an honest evaluation of both strengths and weaknesses, but really what your foremost quality is. Whatever that is, according to their estimation, because they know you best, is what you have been becoming all of your life up until this present moment. What you will become, especially when we're young and we look forward to growing older, depends upon what we're going to be and what we're going to do with the passing of each day and the passing of each year. One man said, what we are is secondary to what we can become. And so, first of all, the Lord observes, we are all builders, and we're in the process of building something. And rather than the address of our home, he's talking about the building of our life, the building of our character, the building of the foremost quality of not just introspection, but from the inspection that comes from those who know us best. And if we would listen, can help us along the way. And that particularly is the story that Jesus is telling that we must be certain that we listen to him, the Word of God in flesh. Secondly, he says the storms are coming. It's interesting that what we build is going to be tested when we're in a week of testing, both at the high school and the university level. We're tested every day. And what is going to be revealed in that test and how we're going to do in that test depends upon how we are building each day. Are we building on surface information, or are we building on in-depth information? Are we building upon just a slight knowledge of Scripture, or are we like the Bereans who are searching the Scriptures daily so that they not only can help us answer questions and solve problems, but build our character and develop our everlasting soul? Sometimes the temptation comes, or the test comes, in a very small form. It may come with the temptation to tell what we call a white lie. In other words, we judge some lies to be much more serious than others. Not in the eyes of God, of course, because any lie is dishonesty. And there is no dishonesty with God. He would have none in us. But we're human. And so we face this matter of, are we going to be honest? Are we going to tell the truth? That is determined on a day-by-day basis. And so once again, those who know us best in the home and at school and in work, they know whether or not they can depend upon us. They know whether or not they can rely upon us. What happened to Judas, for instance? Judas was selected to be an apostle. There was every quality about him that there was about Peter, Andrew, James, and John. The Lord spent all night long, according to Luke, praying about the selection of the 12. But somewhere along the way, there creeps in not a quality, not a virtue, but a vice that takes hold of Judas. And instead of being faithful to the Lord in his greatest time of testing, he proves to be such a failure that he could not stand to live with himself, which was not the right thing to do, not the right solution to his crisis. But the time of testing came, and so the time of testing is going to come for us as well. If we have the temptation to be unfaithful, let's say for those who work in money or with money, those who have the temptation to take just a little bit of what is not theirs in the beginning, but they find how easily that is to do after a while, and then there's a little more, and then there's a little more, and then there's a little more. And then the test is going to come eventually where they have the opportunity to really work with a great sum, and they're going to be tempted to take a greater portion of that great sum. And based upon what they've been developing will determine how they do in that test. And if we're unfaithful in the little things, the Lord says, we'll be unfaithful in the big things. But that person whose character is developing, who can be faithful in the very smallest detail of an assignment, can be trusted with the greatest assignment. And so the tests are going to come. In other words, those houses in Israel, ooh, they look great, they look strong, they look sturdy in the sunshine. But the rain is coming. The floods are coming. The winds are coming. And the ones that stand are going to stand for one reason, and those that fall are going to stand for another reason. Number three, not everyone will respond to the test in the same way. In other words, there's something about a person whose character is being developed according to, as Jesus says, these words of mine, as opposed to someone who is not concerned at all about even contemporary wisdom, much less eternal wisdom. They don't want to listen to anyone but themselves. So they make their own rules. They make their own laws. They live by their own principles. or lack of them. They do not treat people the way that they should be treated. They do not act toward others the way that they should be treated. And so there are things that distinguish people who are building wisely versus building foolishly. Jesus knew about the imperfections in the 12 that would become the apostles when he selected them. But in those men, he saw Peter going from someone who was like shifting sand, someone that you really had a hard time trusting, but to someone who had the heart that could develop into solid rock. And he could be trusted to one day break the good news of life unto both the Jews at Pentecost and to the Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. He saw in James and John men who were sons of thunder at one time. And in particular, as we get to observe the life of John, because he outlived James, we get to see someone who was transformed from a son of thunder into an apostle of love. Judas, on the other hand, had the responsibility of being the treasurer of the group. But rather than being faithful to his task, becomes the traitor of the group and betrays his Lord with what was supposed to be a greeting of a kiss. And so, not everyone is going to respond to their test the same way. Those who will not tell the smallest of lies can be trusted when the big test comes to tell the truth. Those who do tell the small lies and find it convenient or find it to your advantage to lie, to cheat, to take advantage, when the real test comes, they're going to find it easier to cheat, to take advantage. And so not everyone builds or responds to the trial the same way. What is the difference? The Lord says it's the foundation upon which you build. Those houses in Israel that were built upon rock had a firm foundation. Those that were built upon the surface, upon sand, do not have a foundation at all. We see it even in construction today, do we not? His real point, though, is, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your heart? What are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with your soul and with your strength? What are you doing with all of that? To what are you tied? Where do you cling? What is the most important? Do you love the words of this sermon? Or do you take the position, oh, I've read that, and you never look at it again? I'm telling you, you can never expose yourself to the Word of God enough, and particularly to the greatest sermon ever. And so as we think about the foundation for life, Jesus says, there are people that come into this building every Sunday, and they listen to every word taught in Bible class and in worship. And the thing that is of greater concern to them is what we're going to be doing as soon as the amen is over. There is not a hunger for the knowledge of the Word of God. There is hunger for what fills the temporary belly. The wise person is the one that listens and who digests whatever it is that God says in His Word. And that could be in Revelation, it could be in Genesis, and everything in between. Is the house of life, is your character built upon the thou shalt nots and thou shalt do's, upon the material that is found in this sermon, the one who not only hears it, but the one who lives it? And that comes with the help of others, obviously. That comes with those who teach us. That comes with those who continue to set the example for us. Those who correct us. We need them. We need that in our life. And that is why Paul told Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because we're building the foundation of a soul as well as a life. Very quickly, with our youth in mind, but for every one of us, building blocks to our foundation. Number one, if we're building our life upon the fact that God is the giver and sustainer of life, and to Him we owe everything we have and more that we know of, and to Him we're going to give an account for our lives, that we're building our lives on a solid foundation. Don't allow someone to tell you that you are the product of evolution. That is a man-made theory. That is a lie. The truth is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A building block in our foundation is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and before we're buried with Him in baptism to reach His blood to cleanse us from our sins, we make that good confession in the presence of others. I believe in Him. I believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we believe in the Word that records all of that. We believe in the Bible, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path that we turn to not just in times of test, not just in times of crisis, but in that daily exposure that is developing our character. Developing our mind, developing our soul, developing our tongue, developing our hands and feet and our use of them. We believe in the church as the family of God and the bride of Christ, and it's going to be the priority that He is. And that is why we're here. We're here to worship Him. We're here to worship the Father. But it's not just an exercise that we check off of our list, then we go do what we want to. This is the highest privilege we have. And worship on a faithful, regular basis is going to be a priority of the character that is built upon a foundation that cannot be shaken. And then the family, as God designed it. Who in the world would think that they can come up with a better idea for the basis of society, the basis of civilization, better than Almighty God? The family, as God designed it, and living according to God's plan for marriage and for family until the Lord comes is a foundation block for our souls. Another foundation block is to realize that our life is to be lived in fear, faith rather than not fear. Not fear of man, not fear of what may happen, even though there are fearful things ahead. Fearful of God in the sense that we want to reverence Him and to honor Him and to love Him with all of our lives. But I like it every time we sing the song, Living by Faith. Don't you? Living by faith. That doesn't mean we're blind. It means we live by what we see, what has been revealed to us in God's inspired Word. To love people and to treat them with honor and respect. They deserve it. They are made in the image of God as you are. And we honor God by honoring one another. And then living by principles that could go on and on and on, but doing your best. How small the task may be or how large the task may be, to do your best to the best of your ability, and keep developing abilities, all the time keeping your eyes upon heaven. You see, not just at the end of life, heaven at the end of life, but heaven that one day is going to break and the Lord is going to appear, and that may very well be during our lifetime. And so we live in view of eternity. You see, that is the wisdom of the wise man. Not passing fads of the foolish man. Are you aware of the fact that some of the best sermons that you will ever read or hear are in the hymnals in front of you? Generously and conveniently provided by our elders, and many of you have donated in honor and memory of those you love who've gone before us. One of those for me is the song that we have just enjoyed. And if you will look at the last stanza of this psalm that goes back to 1787, really notice what a good summary this is to the foundation of which the Lord is speaking. Foundation for life, yes, but foundation for eternal life. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That is a commitment that we are to make at the time that we are baptized into Christ, and we build upon that commitment from that time forward. We call it growing in our faith, growing in our knowledge, growing in our character. And let me add, in all humility, not in pride, not in arrogance, that is anything but of the Lord. But let me ask you, of the two foundations, which is yours? Are you like Peter was before we see Peter, what he became? Are you shifting sand that can very easily be washed away? Are you solid rock that even a crisis, an unthinkable test, that we have no way of knowing what it's going to be, no way of knowing when it's going to come, that because of our foundation and what's built upon that foundation, we know we will survive because the Lord is the Lord and he is faithful and he keeps his promises. So we sing today to encourage one another to keep building. Yes, our precious youth need to be sure what it is that they believe and what it is that they will act upon because of what they believe. But that's also true regardless of what age we are. Every day we build. The Lord's calling us today to come to him for forgiveness, for salvation. He's also coming for companionship, or calling us for companionship, that he wants to be present with us every step of the way, and he is for those who've taken advantage of being added to his body and being faithful in the church. There may be another reason that you need to respond today, to be brought back to the Lord into a stronger and faithful relationship with the Lord and with his church. But if you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.